महाकाशो का एक अनुपस्थित। One who always sees all living entities as spiritual sparks in quality one with the Lord becomes a true knower of things. What then can be illusion or anxiety for him? Therefore, but for the Madhyama Adhikari and Uttama Adhikari discussed above, no one can correctly see the spiritual position of a living being. The living entities are qualitatively one with the Supreme Lord. Just as the sparks of a fire are qualitatively one with the nature of fire. Yet sparks are not fire as far as quantity is concerned, for the quantity of heat and light present in the sparks is not equal to that in fire. The Mahabhagavata, the great devotee, sees oneness in the sense that he sees everything as the energy of the Supreme Lord. Since there is no difference between the energy and the energetic, there is the sense of oneness. Although heat and light, from the analytical point of view, are different from fire, there is no meaning for the word fire without heat and light. But in synthesis, heat, light, and fire are all the same. The Sanskrit words ekatvam anupashyata indicate that one should see the unity of all living entities from the viewpoint of revealed scriptures. The individual sparks of the Supreme Whole possess almost 80% of the known qualities of the whole. What's that percent? 78%. But they are not quantitatively equal to the Supreme Lord. How does this figure come, this 80%? You know? The 64 qualities of Krishna, first through the nectar of devotion. And of those 64, the living entities have 50. Huh? And Lord Shiva has 5 additional, and Lord Krishna has 5 additional. Making 60, and Krishna has the final. But they are not quantitatively equal to the Supreme Lord. These qualities are present in minute quantity. That's another difference. Out of those 50 of the 64, Krishna has them in full, and a living entity has them in part. So there's two ways. Krishna has more qualities, and he has all the qualities in full. These qualities are present in minute quantity, for the living entity is but a minute part and parcel of the Supreme Whole. To use another simile, the quantity of salt present in a drop is never comparable to the quantity of salt present in the complete ocean. But the salt present in the drop is qualitatively equal in chemical composition to all the salt present in the ocean. If the individual living being were equal to the Supreme Lord, both qualitatively and quantitatively, there would be no question of his being under the influence of material energy. In the previous mantras, it has already been discussed that no living being, not even the powerful demigods, can surpass the Supreme Being in any respect. Therefore, ekatvam does not mean that a living being is equal in all respects to the Supreme Lord. Because that's how the impersonalists interpret this verse. Ekatvam anupashyatam. We should see everything as one. Ekatvam does not mean that a living being is equal in all respects to the Supreme Lord. It does, however, indicate that in a broader sense there is one interest, just as in a family the interest of all members is one, or in the nation the national interest is one, although there are many different individual citizens. The living entities are all parts and parcels of the same supreme family, and in the interest of the supreme being, and that of the parts and parcels is not different. Every living being is the son of the supreme being, as stated in Bhagavad Gita 14:3-4. All living creatures throughout the universe, including birds, reptiles, ants, aquatics, trees, and so on, are emanations of the marginal potency of the Supreme Lord. Therefore, all of them belong to the family of the Supreme Being. There's no clash of interest in spiritual life. Anything part of the Gita with me? Lower left, and blue cover. Do you know those verses? Find that? Chapter 14, Bhagavad Gita. Text 3 and 4.
3 and 4.
Living entity is marginal energy. Mahat Yonir Mahat Brahma Tasmin Garbham Tadam Yaham Sambhava Sarva Bhuteshu Tato Bhavati Bharata. Translation: the total material substance called Brahman is the source of birth, and it is that Brahman that I impregnate, making possible the births of all living beings, of son of Bharata. Text 4, Sarva Yonishu Kauntaya Murtaya Sambhavantiya Tasam Brahma Mahad Yonir Aham Bija. What's the rest? Aham Bija? Oh. What's the translation? Oh. What's the translation? That wasn't what I was asking. You want to answer? Aham Bija means? Bija Pada. Aham Bija Pada Pita. Yeah. Aham Bija. Aham. It's divided this way. At least the Aham Bija Prada Pita. I am the seed giving father. Sarva Yonishu, in all species of life. Murtaya means forms. Sambhavantiya, as they appear. Tasam Brahma Mahad Yonir, this term of Mahajani, the source of birth. It should be understood that all species of life, O son of Kunti, are made possible by birth in this material nature, and that I am the seed-giving Father. So this Prabhupada writes, as stated in Bhagavad Gita 14:3-4, all living creatures throughout the universe, including birds, reptiles, ants, aquatics, trees, and so on, are emanations of the marginal potency of the Supreme Lord. Marginal potency. He doesn't specifically describe what potency, but he says he is the seed-giving Father. Therefore, all of them belong to the family of the Supreme Being. There is no clash of interest in spiritual life. Already Prabhupada has described that in the family there is one common interest, in the nation the national interest is common interest, even if some are individuals. So, the argument is, by understanding that we have all the same Father, that we have the same interest, there's no clash of interest. Even as individuals, we have our own expression. So then, that extends to all creatures, not just humans. This is one long paragraph that Prabhupada is using to explain Ekatvam anupashyataha. Ekatvam means, in Sanskrit translation, is oneness in quality. So in other words, Ekatvam does not speak of the quantitative difference between the jiva and the supreme. It speaks of the qualitative oneness. Ekatvam anupashyata. Pashyata, just like it means to see. Pashyata means to see. Pashyati na pashyati. That's describing, that verse describes living entities that can see the false hopes of happiness in the material world, but they can't see. They can see that they're suffering, but they can't see that they're suffering. Pashyati na pashyati. So, in the attempt to see oneness, Prabhupada is using these verses from the 14th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. The oneness is that of the same interest. If we're all seeing ourselves as parts of God, then our interest is God's interest. That's a cut from on the Pashyata. That's very different than the impersonal see, that's for sure. A cut from, as far as they're concerned, means everything is one. The quality of everything is the same. They even go so far sometimes as to say that matter is also, not just the soul and God are the same, but matter and soul and God are the same. Therefore, Prabhupada says that one of the points to consider when dealing with impersonal arguments is the fact that impersonalists take one statement or phrase and simply repeat it, but they don't take the whole of the scripture into consideration. They'll take this phrase, Ekatvam, and they'll ignore what Krishna says, I am the basis of the impersonal Brahman, or I'm like this, I'm the seed-giving Father of all living entities. The spiritual entities are meant for enjoyment. By nature and constitution, every living being, including the Supreme Lord, and each part and parcel, is meant for eternal enjoyment. The living beings who are encaged in the material tabernacle are constantly seeking enjoyment, but they are seeking it on the wrong platform. Apart from this material world, there is the spiritual platform where the Supreme Being enjoys himself with his innumerable associates. On that platform there is no trace of material qualities, and therefore that platform is called Nirguna. Nirguna. On the Nirguna platform, same point. There is never a clash over the object of enjoyment. What's the object of enjoyment on the Nirguna platform? The Sadguna platform, that's Krishna with his various qualities. The definition given, it's another way to understand living entities have the center of enjoyment. They'll enjoy what? I'll try again. On the Nirguna platform, there is never a clash over the object of enjoyment. So my question was, what's the object of enjoyment that there's never a clash over? That in the Sadguna platform, that is Krishna with his form and activities, and in the Nirguna platform, it's the same. Because here the definition is given that Nirguna means without material qualities, but that's Krishna. Krishna has no material qualities. That's just like referring to the earlier verses. He walks, but he does not walk. He's very far away, but he's very near as well. He's within everything, but he's outside of everything. Meaning, Krishna never comes in contact with the material ingredients. He has an activity like walking, but his walking is not material. It's not that walking. He walks, but he doesn't walk. So that's Nirguna. It's side by side saying Sadguna, he walks, but Nirguna also, he does not walk. Because Prabhupada is making this distinction between impersonal conception and the personal conception. So in a very interesting way, he's taking this term Ekatvam, which means one in quality, and explaining it in terms of the personal. How is that quality one? And then also, Nirguna, which is another term that the impersonalists use. How is this Nirguna to be understood in terms of the personal existence of God? He is without material qualities. Nirguna. Nir means not, guna. Qualities. So this position of qualitative oneness is where there are no material qualities. Because materially things are different. The wall is not the floor and I'm not you, and there's qualitative difference. Materially. But spiritually, quantitative sameness. That's Nirguna. Okay, so Ekatvam and Nirguna, they're very much alike. But on the spiritual platform, so the sentence is, On the mere guna platform, there is never a clash over the object of enjoyment. Where there are qualities, and he'll go on to explain why there is clash in the material world, where there is qualitative difference, then the opportunity for one to enjoy is greater than another to enjoy. If I have some money, that means you don't have that money. So I'm rich and you're poor. Or if one person has beauty and another doesn't have that beauty, one person has some opulence, another person wants it, doesn't have it, wants it. There's envy because of material differences. Here in the material world, there's always a clash between different individual beings because here the proper center of enjoyment is missed. The real center of enjoyment is the Supreme Lord, who is the center of the sublime and spiritual rasa dance. We are all meant to join him and enjoy life with one transcendental interest and without any clash. That is the high platform of spiritual interest. And as soon as one realizes this perfect form of oneness, there can be no question of illusion or lamentation. So that's the conclusion of the verse. One who sees all living entities as qualitatively one with God can't be in any anxiety or illusion. But they can still see the living entities, because the impersonalists say, if you see everyone as qualitatively the same, then it's all one. But Prabhupada is making the point that qualitatively the same can still allow for individuals, just like everyone, because we're all from the same father, we're all part of the same family. And so still we're individuals, but there's oneness of interest. But then the other side is not saying that we're spiritually one, then we're just saying that we're materially different. So then there's constant clash, because I want to be happy and you want to be happy, you want to enjoy and I want to enjoy, and we all want to enjoy, so there's we're not on the spiritual platform. But that's the center, is that Krishna and Krishna's wonderful pastimes that we can all take part in, and as one is increasing Krishna's pleasure, as one servant increases the pleasure of the master, then all servants become, their pleasure increases, because the master is now enjoying. Yeah. That's the question of center of enjoyment. But where there's the center of enjoyment is all spiritual, the qualitative oneness of everything, then there's no illusion or anxiety. If Krishna's pleasure increases more greatly, that's better for me. If another living entity's pleasure increases, that's because Krishna's pleasure is increasing. It's all, the interest is all the same. Even we're individuals. An important distinction. Because impersonalists can't understand that distinction. That is the high platform of spiritual interest, and as soon as one realizes this perfect form of oneness, then there can be no question of illusion or lamentation. And one more page of purport. A godless civilization arises from Maya or illusion, and the result of such a civilization is lamentation. Lamentation follows hankering. A godless civilization such as that sponsored by the modern politicians is always full of anxieties. That is the law of nature, as stated in Bhagavad Gita 7:14. What's that? Nor that those surrendered at the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord can surpass the stringent laws of nature. Thus, if we wish to get rid of all sorts of illusion and anxiety, and create unity out of all diverse interests, we must bring God into all our activities. The results of our activities must be used to serve the interests of the Lord and not for any other purpose. Only by serving the Lord's interest can we perceive the Atma-Bhuta interest mentioned herein. The Atma-Bhuta interest mentioned in this mantra and the Brahma-Bhuta interest mentioned in Bhagavad Gita 18:54 are one and the same. What's the Atma-Bhuta interest? Atma-Bhuta Sujantaha. The interest of the living entity in the Brahma-Bhuta. So what's that verse? Brahma-Bhuta verse? This is describing pure devotional service. Brahma-Bhuta, prasanatma. Atma means soul and prasanna means happiness or pleasure. Brahma-Bhuta, one who is in pure devotional service or thinks nothing but the interest of the Lord is very satisfied. Full prasanna of the soul, full happiness within the soul. Na sochati, na kamsati. They neither hanker for something, because from hankering, as I said, lamentation follows hankering, because when you hanker and you don't achieve the result of your hankering, then you're frustrated, lamenting. Na sochati, na kamsati. Samak sarvaishu bhuteshu. Sarva-bhuteshu is all of the entities. Samak means equal. Equal. What's that in Spanish? Equal? Equal. Equal to all living entities. It's not to say that all living entities' bodies are the same, but the soul, Brahma-Bhuta, or Atma-Bhuta. One who is thus transcendentally situated at once realizes the Supreme Brahman, never laments nor desires for anything. So, Atma-Bhuta and Brahma-Bhuta are the same. The Supreme Atma, or soul, is the Lord Himself, and the minute Atma is the living entity. The Supreme Atma, or Paramatma, alone maintains all the individual minute beings, for the Supreme Lord wants to derive pleasure out of their affection. The Father extends Himself through His children and maintains them in order to derive pleasure. If the children are obedient to the Father's will, family affairs will run smoothly with one interest and a pleasing atmosphere. The same situation is transcendentally arranged in the absolute family of the Parabrahman, the Supreme Spirit. The Parabrahman is as much a person as the individual entities. Neither the Lord nor the living entities are impersonal. Such transcendental personalities are full of transcendental bliss, knowledge, and eternal life. That is the real position of spiritual existence. And as soon as one is fully cognizant of this transcendental position, he at once surrenders unto the lotus feet of the Supreme Being, Sri Krishna. But such a Mahatma, great soul, is very rarely seen, because such transcendental realization is achieved only after many, many births.
I'm still unclear about the difference and similarity between Sadhu and Nirguna.
Well, Krishna says those who try to pursue the impersonal feature, their advancement is always very troublesome. They try to fix their mind on that which is without qualities. That's in one sense nirguna. Just like with worship, sadguna is deity worship. Nirguna is trying to meditate on the formless, impersonal, featureless, qualityless Brahman. So that's the general sense, the common sense that nirguna takes. Both terms, I mean, it's how you define them, but for the transcendentalist, for the transcendental Vaishnava, they both apply to Krishna. Sadguna means with his spiritual qualities, nirguna means without material qualities. Because the process, one of the processes of approaching the absolute that the impersonalists apply is the process of neti-neti. Not this, not this, not this, not this, not this. Is this Brahman? No. Is this Brahman? No. Is this Brahman? So what is Brahman? Brahman is not this. It's the definition by negation. So nirguna. What is Brahman? It is without quality.
If one is trying to...
Without quality means without material quality.
If one is using that process, would he ever reach any kind of conclusion?
Brahman. Impersonal. Brahman. Nirguna worship. Avyakta vyakta murtina. Those who worship my impersonal feature, they undergo so much trouble. That's what Prabhupada says. If after all of their endeavor, they still haven't surrendered or acknowledged the supremacy of the personality of Godhead, what do they have to show for all that they've done? Prabhupada said only their hard labor. All the trouble they underwent, that's all that they can boast. What have you accomplished with your life, sir? I've worked very hard. Okay. But their transcendental position is not established. Because that's the muktamaninas. They're just, by trying to push out material, they're now thinking themselves liberated. They're thinking themselves to be Narayana. Om Namo Narayana. They're thinking like that. But they're not Narayana. Nor are they liberated. Yeah. Well, that's the understanding of the soul by negation, yes. But the soul also has quality. Saguna. Therefore, of the two, Saguna worship is preferable. They're both transcendental, just like that's the essence of Arjuna's question in the 12th chapter. Of these two, which do you recommend? And Krishna says, they're both good. But one is very troublesome. There's every chance of falling down, even in the process, even after you achieve the result of the process. And whereas the other is very indirect and very, very troublesome. But the other is very direct, and therefore I recommend devotional service. Both are transcendental, Sadguna and Nirguna. Worshipping the Supreme with quality. Yeah, that's right.
And yeah. Sadguna, it would be like the
Guru kind of
Krishna.
Yeah. Right. Or also his name. Just like someone was recently commenting that, well, this is a morning war conversation. Someone was describing to Prabhupada that in the Jewish religion they say that the name of God is so holy and sacred that you can't utter it. No one can. It's impossible. Yeah, it's the same idea that you say he has no name or he has unlimited names. Based on his qualities. Those names describe his qualities. No name means no material name. But he has unlimited names. Everyone. To understand what's the foundation of this impersonal versus personal conception is very important. Nirvisesha Sunyavadi Pasachandi is a problem. It's the fabric of Western existence. The government, the economy, the architecture, art, everything. Way of life, very impersonal. And it certainly influences how people see each other and deal with each other and, you know, it's the underlying structure of the culture. It's not very clear and well defined like it is within the Vedic conception. So by understanding the Vedic conception helps one to understand how people are very of course they're very materialistic also, but that materialism is another feature of impersonalism. Just as the impersonalist is also, in some ways you can take it, is materialistic. The same idea, the materialist wants to be in the position of God, so the impersonalist also wants to be in the position of God. And he's a God. Yeah. Impersonal means this nirguna.
not person. Person indicates immediately individuality, quality, form, separate existence. Impersonal says, as soon as you say or think or speak, define things, use terms that indicate separate, then that's illusion, that's mind. Because actually, everything is one. Because seeing something separate, seeing duality, seeing there's individuality, that's mind. Therefore, those that follow the like Madhvacharya, the pose that he's famous for is sitting there with his establishing dualism. The Lord and the living entity, in the spiritual world, there is variety. It's not everything is impersonal, but there is variety. There's individuality. He didn't take it a step further and say there's both oneness and variety. He just said there is duality. There's more than there's variety in the spiritual world. The Lord and the living entity. It's perhaps taken for granted that from this Lord and living entity, an exchange of service between the two, there is some oneness in that exchange of service. That's what this long purport in the mantra indicates. Ekat Vam indicates the oneness of interest that's there amongst the many. But that's not impersonal. That Ekat Vam sense of oneness of interest. Out of love for the Lord. The impersonal sense of oneness of interest is because there is no difference between any of us, therefore there's oneness of interest because we're all the same being, all the same thing. You really have to stretch your mind to just to consider how they're, you know, what they're trying to say. Therefore, the process of mental speculation is to find great pleasure in that, you know, just playing with the mind, stretching the mind,